Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Monday. Post Super Bowl day. Back to work if you're a Chiefs fan. Are you back to work? A little bit too much partying last night after the big win in the big game. Welcome in, Spencer on Sports, kicking off another week of local programming here at KGYM. 13th day of February of 2023. Beautiful day outside. Bright sunshine. Temperature, what does my official weather app thingy say? 49 degrees in Cedar Rapids. That's pretty good. For February, we'll take it, right? I can only sit in the studio here on the southwest side and stare out the window longingly for quitting time, which is still like 2.5 to 3 hours away. So enjoy it for me. As I said, welcome into the program today. Lots to get to on this Monday edition of the show. Dive into Super Bowl 57 from last night. The Chiefs beating the Eagles 38-35 last night in Glendale. Terrible field conditions aside, and any perceived, scriptedness, or as I saw trending on Twitter last night after the game, rigging by the NFL. I don't believe it was. Just 100% clarifying that now. Penalty called late on the final drive by the Chiefs, helping the Chiefs get that win. Just part of the storylines for this game. But incredible second half performance by Kansas City, down 10 at the break, coming back to win over Philadelphia 38-35. We'll talk about that. Talk about this Chiefs team, their place in history, and Patrick Mahomes' place in history on the show today as well. Plus some general thoughts about the Super Bowl, the commercials, and yes, the halftime show. We'll talk about that too coming up later on in the program today. Also going to get to college hoops. Had a big weekend of college hoops, busy weekend of college hoops this weekend. Iowa men and women playing prior to the big game yesterday, taking on Minnesota and Rutgers respectively. We'll get a recap of those contests, look back to a tough weekend for Cyclone fans. The men's team losing for the first time at Hilton Coliseum this season, falling to Oklahoma State at home on Saturday evening. Iowa State women also losing this weekend. They've got a big test tonight as Texas comes to town for a 6 o'clock tip-off, a game you can hear right here on KGYM. We'll get to that coming up later on in the program as well. Love to hear from you today. 319-366-1600 is our talker text line as we come here from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this Monday afternoon. And 319-366-1600, what did you think of the Super Bowl? Your thoughts on the game? Your thoughts on the Chiefs winning second Super Bowl in 4 seasons? How do you think this Chiefs team stacks up in the conversation of best in the league history? 319-366-1600. You can also weigh in on our poll question at kgymradio.com. Has to do with essentially that same question. Are the Chiefs officially a dynasty at this point in time? Yes or no? Can we consider them a dynasty? Yes or no? The poll question brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Well, let's dive into the game from last night. As we saw it, and as expected, a pretty solid game. One of the better Super Bowls. I'm not going to say it's the greatest Super Bowl of all time, but I think it was a fantastic game last night. Had everything you wanted in a game. First half largely belonged to Philadelphia. Again, like I mentioned a few moments ago, taking a 10-point lead into the break. Chiefs are able to match an opening score by the Eagles. The Eagles took the opening drive, 11 play or 75 yards and 11 plays, capped off a touchdown run by Jalen Hurts. And then the connection you saw, and if you placed a little money on the game, I know one of the most popular prop bets out there, there were plenty of popular prop bets out there, but Travis Kelce anytime touchdown scorer, anybody else cash in on that? last night. Hope you did. Hope you put some good change on that, because we saw it. We've been seeing it all season, and we saw it last night in the Super Bowl. First score of the game, the Chiefs answering back, touchdown pass from Mahomes to Kelsey, knotted it up at 7. Huge play from Hurts to A.J. Brown to open the second quarter. Made it 14-7. And then, you know, play, when you look at how this game kind of played out, obviously don't want to take anything away from the second half that the Chiefs had, because it was magnificent. But you wonder how this game is if Jalen Hurts just holds on to the football. On that touchdown, the defensive return for a score by Nick Bolton, who played a fantastic game. He's a second-year guy out of Missouri. The linebacker, who's one of the fine young linebackers in the league, the 36-yard fumble return for a touchdown to tie it up at 14. You thought, okay, you know, here we go, game again. But then the Eagles scored twice, 10 points in the final 2:20 of the first half to take a 10-point lead. And obviously within that time frame, as the first half wound down, you saw Patrick Mahomes re-aggravate that ankle injury that had been talked about and focused on, rightfully so, leading up to not only the AFC Championship game 2 weeks back, but the game last night, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57. That halftime, it's a longer halftime with the halftime show, and the treatment he received, whatever it might have been at halftime, helped him out. And his message to the team at halftime, and their discussions about how they can get back into this and ultimately win the game, whatever was said worked, because the Chiefs essentially flipped the script, coming back from down 10, outscoring the Eagles in that second half when all was said and done, 24-11, a 24-point second half after being down by 10 at halftime. And ended up winning the game. Took a lead, 35-27, with the touchdown pass to Sky Moore, with 9:22 left in the fourth. That big punt return from Kadarius Toney setting that up. But then the Eagles answered right back. The big play to Devontae Smith leading up to the touchdown run by Hurts, the run for the 2-point conversion, and then on that last drive, the Chiefs able to drive it down the field. A lot of folks saying, you know, the holding call on James Bradbury on Juju Smith-Schuster shouldn't have happened. A lot of folks, as I said before, tweeting, "Oh, it's rigged. The fix is in. The script writers just had to put that in there." And we'll get more into that here in just a bit, including the reaction from the head coach of the Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and James Bradbury himself. But as you'll hear Sirianni say here momentarily, a lot of different plays that could have dictated how this game went. And it's not just one play. It's not just one call that determines the outcome of the game. But essentially what that penalty was able to do, allowed the Chiefs to do, was run the clock down as much as they could. Harrison Butker's field goal with 8 seconds left set up basically the last ditch effort by the Eagles to win the game. And all told, it didn't work, because they tried the Hail Mary, didn't even try the hook and ladder or the multilateral play that you usually see teams try there. And in the end, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions again, beating the Eagles 38-35 in that contest. So, tale of two halves, really. And you got to give a ton of credit to what the Chiefs did in that second half. They became the sixth team to overcome a 10-point deficit and win. And that second half, not just for Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs team as a whole, zero penalties, zero turnovers, and, you know, one thing we talked about and you heard talked about on ESPN and all the national shows talking about this game, and even on this show with that Eagles pass rush, the Eagles defense didn't allow a sack. The Chiefs offensive line did not allow a sack in the game, and that was huge, considering, what, 78 sacks was it for the Eagles defense in the regular season, plus the games they played in the postseason. They didn't get to Patrick Mahomes, and they were neutralized by that Chiefs offensive line. Patrick Mahomes able to play through what was bothering him with the ankle in the second half, and led an incredible comeback as the Chiefs get the win 38-35. That second half for Mahomes, some great stuff shared by ESPN Stats and Info. 13 of 14 in the second half. 13 of 14, only missed one pass, and the lone incompletion was a throwaway into the end zone. So essentially 13 for 13 or 14 for 14, did not throw an incompletion. To his wide receivers, they became a little bit more involved in the second half. 9 for 9 for 69 yards and two touchdowns to his wide receivers, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, in that second half. Chiefs receivers with just 11 yards receiving in that first half as well. And Chiefs running the football, too. You saw that in that second half. Isaiah Pacheco with a big game. Not, 100-plus, 200-plus yards, but solid game, especially in that second half with 15 carries for 76 yards and a score. ESPN Stats and Info sharing. Chiefs ran by design almost 50% of their plays in the second half. Ran by design just 5 of the 20 plays they ran in that first half, as they fell behind, like we said, by 10 and were able to pull out the victory last night over Philadelphia. Here is quarterback and Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes talking about winning the Super Bowl with this team and just soaking in the victory, getting his second Super Bowl title in 4 seasons. Here's what QB1 of the Chiefs had to say after the game last night.
This is amazing. Like, we won the Super Bowl. Like, this is happy. Like, you're just like a little kid winning a prize at the fair. I mean, whereas this one, you've dealt with failure. You understand how hard it is to get back on this stage and to win this game. I mean, I played in a Super Bowl where I got blown out, where it was I got all hyped up, and then you go out there and you don't do anything. And then I lose the AFC Championship game in the overtime when I thought we had a chance to win the Super Bowl that year. And have a full brand-new team and have to go through the strain of being better and better every single day, it gives you a greater appreciation for winning this game.
Patrick Mahomes talking there. You heard him mention a brand-new team. Obviously, some key free agent acquisitions. You look at Juju Smith-Schuster, who had a nice second half. You look at Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who had a solid AFC championship game. Losing Tyreek Hill, a lot of questions about, okay, how are the Chiefs going to respond without one of the electric playmakers in the league on their team as he went to Miami. Chiefs with 10 rookies that played on Sunday, and they had 2 rookies score touchdowns, Isaiah Pacheco and Sky Moore for the Chiefs scoring touchdowns. That number, 10 rookies, tied for the 3rd most in Super Bowl history and the most since 1981 when the 49ers had 10 rookies play for them. The most all time, if you're curious, if you're a stat nerd like me, Steelers from 1974 had 13 rookies play. So a little ways to go before they get to that point, but or get to the high point of that stat. But the new team came through. The defense did well. Again, the big, you look at how the game played out. That fumble return for a touchdown doesn't happen by Nick Bolton, and the Eagles are able to get even 3 more points out of that. Maybe they end up winning the game. So that was huge. Bolton almost had another return for a score, which, that's another call that a lot of folks are debating, whether it was a fumble and the return for the score or an incomplete pass. It was initially or was ruled a fumble, return for a score, and then overturned by video replay. But, boy, a game of the life for Nick Bolton, did what they could to keep the Chiefs in the game in that first half when it looked like things would be getting away from them maybe a little bit, but the Chiefs came roaring back in that second half and found a way to win the football game yesterday. And we'll get to the Eagles in just a bit, because you don't want to overlook the performance that Jalen Hurts had, because it was certainly a performance to remember in the losing effort last night. One more piece of sound from Chiefs celebrating the victory, Travis Kelce. We heard a lot from him after the AFC title game. The messages to Cincinnati mayor and what have you, but got rather emotional looking back on last year and culminating it with a Super Bowl championship.
This was the happiest year of my life, man. And both off the field, on the field, to see my family be in its all its glories, get all the flowers, my mom be the center of attention on the Jumbotron before the game, on the biggest stage, being able to get closer with my brother throughout the season. And then meet him at the mountaintop. It's the best feeling in the world, man. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how many I got left, but I'm sure going to cherish this one forever.
Travis Kelce speaking there after the game last night as he again finished with 6 catches for 81 yards and that score in the first quarter to help his team to the win last night in Super Bowl 57. On the losing side, tough one for Philly fans. Again, 10-point lead. You know, felt pretty good even with that score. The Chiefs drove down the field 75 yards and 10 plays to open that open the second half last night. Had a feeling, okay, they're behind. You know, they're going to try to score on this drive, but still I think they felt pretty good going into that third quarter. Got just a field goal in that third quarter. If they're able to put that drive into the end zone, culminate that with a touchdown right toward the end of the third quarter. Maybe it's a different game, but it's not how it played out for Philly, and certainly a tough loss for them as they were looking to win their second Super Bowl in 5 years. Of course, winning the 2017 Super Bowl, being the Patriots in that one, getting back to the big game, having a fantastic season as the number one seed in the NFC. Here's what their head coach, Nick Sirianni, had to say about taking a loss on the biggest stage.
It always hurts, right? Anytime you don't come out on top, regardless of what you're competing at, it burns you and it gets a lot of credit to them, all the credit to them. They played a great game. It's a really good football team, well-coached football team. You know, but it hurts. And like I said, we'll use this pain, we'll use this failure for motivation for us moving forward.
Jalen Hurts, fantastic game, 27 of 38, 304 passing yards, threw a touchdown, and accounted for 3 touchdowns on the ground. In fact, he was the leading rusher for the Eagles last night, and maybe that was part of the Eagles' demise. The Chiefs' defense doing a great job limiting the Eagles' running attack last night. Their second leading rusher was Kenneth Gainwell, 7 carries for 21 yards. In the grand scheme of things, Miles Sanders, who had a fantastic year, was pretty much a non-factor, 7 carries for 16 yards, averaged 2.3 yards a carry. Jalen Hurts, though, 15 carries, 70 yards, 3 scores, the second player in Super Bowl history with 3 rushing touchdowns in a game, and second quarterback in NFL history with 3 rushing touchdowns in a playoff game as well. And Hurts, showing that he's able to throw and run the football. The fourth time we've seen in NFL history a 300-yard passing game and 3 rushing touchdowns. Hurts is 2 of the 4. So he showed how impressive he can be. And like I said, set Super Bowl records for rushes, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns by a quarterback while completing 80% of his passes from the pocket. So strong performance by Jalen Hurts, but his team ended up falling short, and here's what the Eagles quarterback had to say about the loss and his thoughts after an emotional defeat.
You either win or you learn. That's how I feel. You either win or you learn. So, you know, as always, win, lose, or draw, I always reflect on the things that I could have done better, things we could have done better. To try and take that next step, and that'll be the same process that goes on now.
Jalen Hurts after the game. Hurts, I mentioned, with 70 rushing yards, only had 7 in the second half. What was working for him and the Eagles in the second half was the quarterback sneak. I saw a lot of Iowa fans on Twitter last night saying, "Shades of Nate Stanley," or they stole that from Nate Stanley playbook when he was the Iowa quarterback, and they seem to have a really good success rate on the quarterback sneaks. But the Eagles 6 for 6. Jalen Hurts was 6 for 6 in quarterback sneaks in that game last night, for what it's worth. On the other offensive stats, Devontae Smith, 7 catches for 100 yards, including that big one, set up the tying score late in the game. A.J. Brown, 6 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown as well. So that is the tale of the tape from last night. Still plenty more to get to about the Super Bowl. We will dive into the penalty, which a lot of folks are talking about, the holding call on James Bradberry. Bradberry himself will play the audio here momentarily saying, yep, right call. So I think, kind of a moot point for all the points being made about it when the guy himself takes a lot of responsibility and says, yeah, shouldn't have done that in the end. But we'll hear from that in just a few moments. Talk about some of the other storylines from the big game last night and talk about the Chiefs team and their place in history. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think their place in history is and Patrick Mahomes' place in history as well as one of the great quarterbacks in the game of football. Your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600. We'll talk about that and more on the other side of this timeout with Spencer at Sports on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today and another pleasant afternoon. Temperatures will be climbing toward 50 degrees. We'll start the night clear with temperatures dropping into the low 30s. By morning, clouds will be arriving and winds will be picking up out of the south. We'll have a light to moderate rain moving in after 9 to 10 a.m. and persisting through the afternoon. Temperatures, though, will still be in the mid-40s tomorrow. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
Sweetness is in the air. Sweethearts, sweet treats. And now Imon is offering the sweetest deal of the year on their fastest reliable fiber internet service. Sign up with Imon and get free internet service for 2 full months. That's right, Iowa's most reliable internet, one all-in monthly price, 2 full months free. All backed by the sweetest local customer support available. The best deal of the year is only available until February 26th. So give Imon a try today and enjoy 2 full months of internet free. Visit go.imon.net/radio to make the switch to Imon. New residential customers only. Other restrictions apply.
Race to savings on your next plumbing project at Menards. Get hot water when you need it with Menards' selection of Richmond water heaters. Choose from a variety of tank, tankless, and heat pump options to make sure you have hot water when you need it. Richmond water heaters work hard behind the scenes so you can focus on what matters most. Race to savings today at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:29 with Spencer at Sports here on this Monday, February 13th of 2023 at 319-366-1600. Talking Super Bowl 57, wrapping up the big game. Talked about the game itself coming up. We did that to start the show, pardon me, and get into a little bit more about the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes in general, coming up here momentarily, some of the other storylines surrounding the Super Bowl from last night, getting to some college hoops coming up in just a bit as well. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. We got Iowa State women's basketball coming up tonight. Cyclones in Texas tonight. from Ames. 6 o'clock tip-off. We'll join it right before tip-off on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Reminding you of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Are the Chiefs officially a dynasty at this point in time? Yes or no? You can vote at KGYMradio.com. Early leader in the clubhouse is yes. And we'll look at the official definition. Well, it's not, it's officially unofficial, I guess, definition of a sports dynasty here coming up momentarily. But do want to talk about a few other things surrounding the game itself from last night. A lot being made about the holding call on James Bradbury late in the game, extended the Chiefs' drive. It was on third and long for the Chiefs. Allowed them to run out the clock. Obviously, you don't want to see that call being made. And I understand. You know, I'm not saying I wasn't upset at the call at all. I think it's a bad time for that call to be made, and there's a perception that, you know, well, there's the call. I saw a lot of people saying, there's the call. We went all this game without the call being made. And, you could say what you want to believe, but I personally think that at that moment in time, if it's truly a hold or truly a pass interference or truly whatever, you got to call it. Looking at the replay, you could look at slow motion, you could look at it, full speed. I could see both arguments. I think in that point of the game, if it's the first quarter and that happens, okay, I think we'd be less upset at getting called. I could see why, Eagles fans in particular are upset because, it denied your team essentially a chance to really truly have an opportunity to either tie or win the game, because with the penalty, the Chiefs were able to continue eating up clock and just get it down to where they wanted it to be on the clock as far as they could for the game-winning field goal by Butker. I'm not sure what else to say about it. I don't think it was, it's a bad time to make that call, but if it truly was a hold, then you got to call it, right? I mean, I'm not trying to play it down both sides. I mean, you really truly can understand why people are upset about it, why Eagles fans are upset about it, why people who even, didn't really care who won are upset about it, because you don't want to seemingly have a call that impacts the outcome of the game. We had, 58 minutes, 57 minutes of great football, and then, we had this penalty that got called at the end, so I see why people are upset, as you'll hear coming up in just a matter of seconds from Nick Sirianni. And you really have to appreciate the stance the Eagles are taking on it, as you'll hear coming up in just a matter of seconds from their head coach. It's not just one play that dictates the outcome of the game, and here's what he had to say when he was asked about the holding call on Bradbury.
It always hurts, right? Anytime you don't come out on top, regardless of what you're competing.
Wrong clip.
At.
Pardon me. Let's go with this one.
It's not my job to, you'll see me on the sideline. I'm going to argue with different things of calls here and there, but it's not my job to make the call. Those guys got to do that in split second, scenarios. That's what he saw, and he called it. And so that's never it. I know it always appears to be that, it's one call that makes the game. It's not what it is, right? It's not what it is. There's so many plays that contribute to the end result of the game. And today they were better than we were.
And I tend to agree with him. You go back to, again, the fumble return from Nick Bolton. If Hurts holds on to the ball, they get points on that drive. Maybe it's a 27-14 game, 28-14 game at halftime. Could be even more than that. You don't know what's going to happen or how it plays out if they go for a touchdown and don't settle for just a field goal in the third, expand their lead out to maybe 10 points. Maybe we're talking about a different story, but Nick Sirianni choosing to, you heard him say it. I mean, yeah, I'm going to be upset about it on the sideline, but that's how the game is. That's what happens in football games. I mean, how many times have we been upset about a call in the end? You can understand why people are upset because it happened in the biggest game. And frankly, if it were me, I'm letting him play, especially in that moment on what turned out to be the game-winning drive for the Chiefs. You let him play. You let him, you know, unless it's absolutely 100% egregious, I'm swallowing my whistle. I'm not an official. That's just my two cents on it. And in case you missed it, James Bradbury said, hey, yeah, it was a penalty.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go, but of course, you know, he's a ref. It's a big game. And it was a hold, so they called it.
It was a hold. I was hoping he'd let it go, admitting that, yeah, he knows. There are things they know they can get away with within reason. And he wasn't able to get away with it last night. 319-366-1600. 0961 saying, too many NFL officials think they're bigger than the game, should not have been called, too minor. And yes, I was rooting for the Chiefs. Yeah. You don't want the ref show to become a thing. I agree with that. I think in the grand scheme of things, you swallow the whistle in that situation. Considering the stage, considering the moment, if I'm the refereeing crew, I don't throw that flag. That's me. Some, you know, as 0961 pointed out, they were cheering for the Chiefs. And don't think it should have been called. So could see why, you know, obviously there are, you know, ton of Chief fans that are like, hey, yeah, great, penalty. Woohoo. We're gonna win. I'm sure there are more than their fair share of Chief fans that were celebrating that penalty was called. But I'm sure there's plenty more of them that said, yeah, kind of mirrors what was a really good Super Bowl, right? 319-366-1600. One of the other storylines was the field. Field was terrible. And we saw this, and people are pointing this out too, the Fiesta Bowl, TCU in Michigan. Players slipping everywhere, it seemed like, in that one. And, well, the field... Field was drawing the ire of everyone. A lot of people roasting Oklahoma State for their their development of the turf from last night. Nick Bolton, the Chiefs linebacker, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier today. He had a little bit different take on it, but the bulk of the takes from players is that the field was not good.
The field, man, it wasn't as bad as it was early in the year when we played Arizona, but I was a little slick out there, man. But again, it's the kind of the elements, man. Just got to try to do what you can. I put the best cleats on available and just try to find a way to win.
Nick Bolton from earlier today on ESPN Radio. Frank Clark, Chiefs defensive lineman, his defensive teammate. Bolton's defensive teammate, well, thought things a little bit differently. He said the field was kind of terrible. We've had this problem in Arizona before. A lot of these stadiums try to do new tactics with the grass. They try to do new things. He said, I've been playing football since I was 7. The best grass is grass. That is naturally there. He went on to say, at the end of the day, it was the field that we were given. So kind of a, yeah, it was bad, but what do you want me to do? That's kind of the general consensus I have seen. A lot of players on both sides changing their cleats at halftime. You saw Isaiah Pacheco slipping as he celebrated his touchdown in the second half. Sky Moore losing his footing, and plenty of other instances where the field was just a little too slick last night. And, you know, again, I can understand like a regular season game. I can, but I can't. You don't want it to ever happen. You don't want it to ever be, you know, that bad. But, you know, even in a regular season game, but the postseason in a major college bowl game, CFP game, you shouldn't have those issues. And you can see why people were upset with that last night. When it comes down to it, and get your thoughts here about the Chiefs and their run of success. Kansas City Chiefs, 2 Super Bowls in 4 years, 5 straight AFC championships. Another comeback win for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Chiefs now the third franchise to get to 3 Super Bowl titles, Broncos, Raiders, and Washington, among the teams that have just 3, but there is obviously the potential for more. So it leads to the question, that's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Are the Chiefs officially a dynasty at this point in time? In sports, a dynasty, this is the officially unofficial definition from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. In sports, a dynasty is a team or individual that dominates their sport or league for an extended length of time. So, in that case, can you say officially, now the Chiefs have racked up another Super Bowl title, that they are truly a dynasty? 319-366-1600. You look at the dynasties that are widely accepted, the Patriots, Brady and Belichick from 2001 to 2019, 49ers of the 80s and early 90s, Cowboys in there from the 90s to 1990 to 1996, Steelers of the 70s, the 60s, Packers, all widely considered to be the best teams, the best franchises of their time. And there's others, of course. Don't want to go too far back into the record books, but in your opinion, are the Chiefs truly a dynasty? 319-366-1600. I think this is, you know, two Super Bowls obviously puts it up there. You know, five straight AFC championship games. You look at Patrick Mahomes alone, the fourth starting quarterback in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowl titles and MVP awards, joining Brady, Montana, and Manning, three of the all-time greats of the game. 12th players and crazy stuff when you look at Patrick Mahomes compared to all sports, MLB, NBA, NHL, and some of the names he's joined with multiple MVPs and championships over the first six seasons. Mahomes in the conversation with Wayne Gretzky, Joe DiMaggio, Roger Maris, Stan the Man Musial, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell as players who have multiple MVPs and titles within their first six seasons. It's it's hard to say they're not, right? Hard to say they are not a dynasty. And I think they are obviously the team to beat in the AFC going forward. And Patrick Mahomes, I think now with Tom Brady stepping away, he did officially put his retirement papers in this weekend, if you didn't see that. Or at some point within the last week, it was announced this weekend. I think Mahomes is clearly the face, one of the faces of the NFL. Considering he won the most recent Super Bowl championship, but Mahomes, I think, will be the face of the league. You can see Joe Burrow on the faces of the league. I could see Jalen Hurts, too. The Eagles get a championship, obviously, reeling a little bit after their defeat yesterday, but I think the Eagles have got a great setup going forward. I think the Chiefs are right up there. Now, if they keep, and like you said, this isn't a flash in the pan. They were there 2019, came back from down 10 to win, beat the San Francisco 49ers, lost in 2020, the blowout loss to Tampa, and then losing last year, of course, to Cincinnati in the AFC title game, taking that year away from the Super Bowl, but getting back again, winning another title. What, five straight AFC championship games? I mean, you got to put them up there with some of the best runs in NFL history, and it's largely because of a lot of different factors, but it's largely because of one man, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And the talent that he brings, the electricity he brings, the leadership he brings to that team, he's now one of the faces of the NFL. And he is leading a team that is not going away. They're playing the underdog card. If you didn't see that, nobody expected us to be here. I know a lot of people picked against him. If that's what they're getting at, I get it. I picked against him. I said on this very show, I'm going to be regretting doubting Patrick Mahomes. I was wrong. They were the better team. Came back, won the game in the second half. I was wrong. Mahomes, he deserves all the accolades he's getting. And when you look at the NFL and look at, who the faces of the league are, he's got to be at or near the top of that list because of all he's done to lead the Chiefs to this run that they are on. 319-366-1600. Do want to get to College Hoops here coming up in just a bit, 27-12, with a question about officiating. Would you swallow your whistle in the first quarter? A call then could affect the game too. No. And again, I think it's multifaceted. When you're talking about that penalty from last night, in the moment of the game, what, like 2 minutes left, minute 15 left? I don't remember the exact timestamp, but do you want to be the guy that gets booze hurled down on you? Considering, and I'm not saying you just let everything go. If it's truly an egregious hold, truly an egregious pass interference, like he, you know, either Juju shoves Bradbury or Bradbury shoves Juju to gain leverage, or there's a face mask, you don't ignore that. That's not what I'm getting at all. But I think, considering you watched the replay of that penalty, it wasn't, was it worth the call? Obviously, the official thought it was, and as you heard Nick Sirianni say, they're watching it. They think they see something. They're told to call it if they see it. That's what they did. And did it benefit the Chiefs in the end? Yes, but is it rigged? No. It's not scripted. It's not rigged. Chiefs played a good game. A lot of opportunities for the Eagles to win that game. Eagles to put it away last night, and they weren't able to. 10-point lead, and let the Chiefs outscore them again, 24-11, in the second half last night. 319-366-1600, 246. Want to get to some college hoops? Quick run through the world of college hoops coming up here in just a few moments. Do that, and then we're out of here for today on a Monday. That's next here at the gym.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmers State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
Everyone knows the home buying market has been kind of crazy these past few years, and that definitely includes the interest rates. In today's market, I like to remind people that they're marrying the home, not the rate. Hi, I'm Tammy Yamakoski, head of the mortgage team at FSB. With almost 25 years of lending experience, I know firsthand the many ways a mortgage loan can be customized for home buyers. From your standard fixed rate loan to a VA loan, an adjustable rate loan, and more, we're ready to go the extra mile to create the home loan that works best for you.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Honda HR-V, CR-V, Pilot, Passport, and Ridgeline. They all have one thing in common. They never back off from a challenge. Available with all-wheel drive, the Honda SUV lineup has the performance you can count on and the capability to amaze. It's no wonder Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com named Honda the 2022 Best Value Brand.
So get to your Central Midwest Honda dealer. Honda gets the Midwest.
Based on 2022 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's Single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's Single, Dave's Single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew! Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
Chris, this needs to go to Parkville by 3.
Joy to the holiday packages that keep coming at Jimenez Couriers.
Offers coming your way, but the drop-off location is changing.
She needs delivery drivers with the gift of punctuality.
Anyone looking to pick up some overtime? Anyone?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
And just like that, we're back here at 249 on this Monday afternoon here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Glad to be with you as always. A public service announcement for tomorrow. Our company here loves us so much, they give us a free day off. So no show tomorrow, but we're back here on Wednesday with Spetzer Odd Sports. Nice, well-deserved day off for Valentine's Day here from the powers that be. So we'll take tomorrow off. You'll enjoy Canty and Carlin from ESPN Radio tomorrow. And then we're back on Wednesday, jumping back in headfirst into the pool of things here on KGYM. So no show tomorrow, but we're here again Wednesday through Friday here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. 3170 chiming in about the officiating as well. Real question is consistency. The game had not been officiated that tightly throughout. Agree. I mean, talk about that game specifically, Super Bowl specifically last night, but consistency in general. And again, you go back to the comments that Roger Goodell made earlier in the week at his press conference. The officiating is the best it's ever been, he says. Okay, and then you... Yeah, that came after what you saw in the AFC Championship game for the Chiefs against the Bengals. Another situation involving the Kansas City Chiefs in the end of that game. But you want the game to be called the same way throughout, and if you're not getting that, I think that's an issue. As it is. So good point. 3170, 319-366, 1600. Not a lot of time to get to college hoops. We'll touch on the highlights from the weekend. The Hawkeyes on the men's side getting a win over Minnesota, 68-56. A tight one at the half yesterday afternoon. Iowa just 13 of 40 from the floor in that first half. The defense for Iowa really keeping them in the game as they continue to turn over Minnesota in that game, but Iowa just 3-point lead at the half. The Gophers shot, 54% in the first half of that one. Iowa, though, able to pull away, shooting 43%, made 14 of 32 baskets in the second half to win by 12, 68-56. Chris Murray, big game, 28 points, 14 rebounds, his sixth double-double of the season. Philip Rabracha with 16 and 8. In the win for Iowa as they win the only meeting of the season against the Gophers, crushing them really on the offensive glass. Big stat there, 17-2 on the offensive glass yesterday. Hawkeyes also plus 9 in the turnover margin. I mentioned that 14 Minnesota turnovers yesterday, got 14 points off of those turnovers as the Gophers. They are shorthanded, playing without Dawson Garcia. Of course, had to cancel game earlier in the week because of health and safety protocols, but got the win, went in, got the job done, got the win, and got to 8-6 in the Big Ten. Another opportunity to get maybe a little revenge. Ohio State still reeling here, losing again this weekend, losing to Michigan State yesterday. They come into Iowa City coming up on Thursday night for an 8 o'clock tip-off. Of course, Iowa did lose to Ohio State earlier this season. Big story in college basketball yesterday, Purdue falling to Northwestern, 64-58. Boo Booey with 26 points. Chase Audige adding in 15 as the Wildcats beat a number one team for the first time ever. They were 0-19 against number one teams going into Sunday. That is the second worst in Division I. The only team worse than them against number one teams is Washington State. 0-27 on the all-time record, all-time ledger for the Cougars against number one teams. Wildcats outscored Purdue 12-1 in the final 3 minutes of that one. So Purdue falls out of the number one spot. Drop back a couple spots. Alabama is your new number one team on the men's side this week. Big 12 action from Saturday. Disappointing loss for Iowa State at home, losing to Oklahoma State, their first loss at Hilton this season. Cyclones outscored 38-24 in the second half after having a lead at halftime. Oklahoma State shooting well in the second half, playing good defense. Cyclones just 8 of 23 from the floor in the second half. Poor free throw shooting hurting them as well, as they fall to the Cowboys and move to 7-5 in Big 12 play. their next in action coming up on Wednesday as they will host TCU. Iowa State women not faring much better on the road. They fell to West Virginia 73-60. Cyclones making just 5 of their 30 three-point attempts, shooting 34% in the game as Bill Fenley's team loses their third straight game. They again are hosting Texas tonight, tip-off set for 6 o'clock. And then a big game yesterday, big margin of victory for the Iowa women. All available players scored in the game as the Hawkeyes just absolutely blew out Rutgers, 111-57. Iowa breaking the school record for most points against a Big Ten opponent with that margin of victory. They were up 57 in that third quarter. Just not a good day for Rutgers at all, and a really good day for Iowa. Molly Davis, career high for her as a Hawkeye, was 17 points. 15-10 for Caitlin Clark, 15 points, 10 assists. Monica Sonato had 14. 4 three-pointers for the freshman, Taylor McCabe. In the win, she finished with 12, and Iowa's bench alone outscoring Rutgers as a team in that one, 61-57. Iowa now 20 wins again, seventh straight 20-win season, excuse me, under head coach Lisa Bluter. They improved to 20-5 overall, 12-2 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin coming to town on Wednesday night as Iowa will look to sweep the season series with the Badgers. The women's rankings this week, the Hawkeyes falling 2 spots from 5th to 7th as they fall in the polls. Of course, lost to Indiana. Indiana still number 2 in the women's poll. South Carolina retaining the number 1 spot. They just beat LSU yesterday, handing the Tigers their first loss of the season. So LSU now 5th in the country. Iowa now 7th in the country. Iowa State women staying in the poll. They fell 1 spot to 22nd on the women's side of things here for this week. That's a wrap on the show today. Of course, as I said a few moments ago, we will be back coming up on Wednesday. Wednesday at 2, nice day off. Thank you to the powers that be for giving us the opportunity to spend the day tomorrow enjoying some well-deserved time off here. So local shows will be back on Wednesday at 2. Hope you enjoy Canty and Carlin tomorrow. And we'll be back here on the show Wednesday. So enjoy that, and we'll talk to you then right here on KGYM. Gym class coming up. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way from 4 until 6 as well on the gym.